Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. Tune in for Born to Win with Ronald L. Dart right here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Sunday morning at 7. And we'll talk about whether you were born to lose or born to win. And visit us online at borntowin.net.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer at 7 p.m. The church is located at 121 Southwest Kester Drive in Port St. Lucie, just off of Darwin Boulevard. For more information, call 336-3908. Let us be your church home on your way to your heavenly home. That number again, 336-3908.
We should possess a respect and a fear for God. As long as we maintain and we carry and conduct ourselves with a mindset where there is a reverential respect for God, that's great sin protection.
I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's message. There is no God like me. God.
Hosea 13 verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 and I'm reading from the KJV. Then I'm going to pray. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made the molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it, the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out on the floor, and are as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, according to their pasture, so were they filled, and they were filled, and their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore, they have forgotten me. Let's go to God in prayer again as we get ready for our Bible study. Father, again, we don't shy away from your word. We want to embrace your word. God, by your spirit, just get us out of our comfort zone. We pray for hearts that'll be pliable, hearts that would not be fallow, but broken. As we look to your word for application, to practice, to live by, because it is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There is no God but me. I want you to consider your financial state or your physical state. Examine your history. Examine your relationship as it relates to God. Think about where you were before God came into your life. Think about and examine when God came into your life. And then changes began to take place. And you began to experience His deliverance. You began to experience His grace, His goodness, His love, His truth. All things were great. Things were good with you and God. But somewhere on the trip with God, you got a little complacent. You forgot. What did they forget, Pastor? You forgot that what you're experiencing was not accomplished by human means or by human hands. You forgot that when you were naked and destitute and lost and in delusion and had no direction, a wonderful hand from heaven reached down and got you out your miry pit. Changed your destiny. You realize that? Change your destiny. You were destined to destruction. You were destined to eternal separation from God because of your sins. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we all have sinned and become short of the glory of God, there's a penalty for that sin. Because we are sinners, not according to the Baptist church, not according to the Catholic church, not according to any religious institution, God Almighty, who cannot lie, has declared all men that we have fell short. We fall short of His perfection. We fall short of His glory. We all miss the mark. And because we all miss the mark, we have this reality that we were lost and we owe a penalty. And that penalty for sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. When the Bible says in Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then the same, he says in Romans 6, he says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty. Let's talk about that death for a second. I'm going to get into this text because Israel forgot about their existence. They forgot about their glory. They forgot about their purpose and why even God made them. The wages of sin is death. Death is separation. There is spiritual separation that Adam and Eve experienced the day they immediately died in the garden when they sinned against God. When they sinned against God, there was immediate separation from God spiritually. A little bit later, we know Adam lived to be 930 years old, so 930 years he experienced physical death, where his body and his spirit and the soul was separated from the physical vehicle that carried him. So he was physically dead. So we have spiritual death, physical death, but it's the third part of death. That third definition of death, the wages of sin is death, is eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from God. The Bible makes it very clear. That is the lake of fire. That is the second death. Eternal separation from God. That is why King Jesus came into this world to save us from the wrath of God that will abide on you forever, according to John 6. God makes it very clear. God saved us with His Son. Then in our text, we see in verse 1, there was a time when Israel trembled. There was a time when Israel respected. There was a time when Israel, notice Ephraim is again another name from Israel. Ephraim spake trembling. There was a reverential awe. There was reverential fear. There was reverential respect. Like right now, we should possess a respect and a fear for God. As long as we maintain and we carry and conduct ourselves with a mindset where there is a reverential respect for God, that's great sin protection. And when he exalted himself in Israel, in other words, he was able to be exalted from God's economy, not exalting himself before God, but he was able to worship with God and be in connection with God, and God blessed him and prospered him. But when he offended, he got offensive in his worship. He got offensive in his position with God. He forgot and began to worship Baal, a false god. He began to attribute all his blessings to these fertility deities, these false deities like Baal and Ashtoreth and all. And part of that pagan worship with Baal, Israel had a history of that. Part of that is that some of their rites includes perversions, and when it comes down to sexuality, they went to perverted worship. They went into wicked worship, worship that was an abomination to God, worshiping and blessing Baal. Not only that, verse 2, notice verse 1, he died. In other words, spiritually, there's a separation going on. Now, after all the blessings, I delivered you from the hands and from the whips of Pharaoh. I delivered you from Egypt, from bondage. I instituted a Passover for you. I opened up a door, a vehicle, a highway, a blessing to lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I even parted a Red Sea for you. I gave you your very existence. And now the crops that you receive, the blessings that you're receiving, the prosperity that you're experiencing, you are turning over to a false god. Everybody say idolatry. You began to create and fix molten images. Did I not tell you? Did I not remind you? I gave you a list of commandments. I gave you my servant Moses, and he gave you some commandments from Mount Sinai. Don't you forgot about the earthquake? You forgot about the lightning? You forgot about a place where you were too afraid to even look at me or go to the mountain and say, Moses, won't you go and intervene? Won't you go and pray for us, intercede for us? At this state, they totally lost. They began to create idols according to their own understanding, what appeased them, giving it eyes but eyes that would never see, giving that idol ears but ears that would never hear your prayers, giving that idol hands and it would never ever be able to hold you and touch you. And then you, as in Romans chapter 1, reduce the greatness and the majesty and the transcendence of a holy God, and you reduced it to a creature. You reduced it to an animal. A golden calf. Well, God said they died. Was it out of ignorance? Or did they really know? Just like you and I. Has God not communicated in his word strongly prohibits any kind of worship that is not directed to him? Well, let's remind ourselves. The word of God powerfully prohibits idolatry. This is a message, again, that's not going to make us comfortable. It's going to get you to think. It's going to examine, help us examine. God, have there been acts of idolatry? Have I been practicing idolatry? Is there anything in my life where a person, place, or thing, or activity enjoys more authority in my life than you? Let's look at the word of God. Hold your place here real quickly. Don't leave, but behold it. Hold your place there in Hosea 13. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. We'll pick it up at verse 11. God is speaking through his man, Moses, and he's given directives. He's not negotiating here. He's not suggesting. He's given an imperative. He's being very specific. that as you get ready to go into that promised land, I need to tell you about some separation. I need to reveal to you that I ain't tolerating no other worship but me. Verse 11 in Exodus chapter 34, verses 11 through 17. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. See, it's not a suggestion. This day, behold, I drive out before thee. Pause for a second. I'm glad the Spirit of God said I will drive them out, because Israel, you don't have the power to drive out the idols. Israel, you don't have the capacity to separate yourself. Application, don't try to separate yourself from the world without God. It will not be successful. It is not going to happen. Because we're going to always find a way to rationalize, to justify. It takes the power of God to free you from idolatry. It takes the power of God to protect you from the mindset and the mentality of a culture that is self-absorbed. I'm going to drive out before you the Amorite and the six nations, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, the Appetite. No. No, I said that to see if you're paying attention. Making sure you're in the right text. You don't, if you got appetite in your Bible, throw that Bible away. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go. Lest it be for a snare, covenant, connection, a contract, an agreement with the world, and a snare, because it's nothing but a big trap, in the midst of thee. Here's what I want you to do. Don't make a covenant. Don't negotiate. Don't even tolerate. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves or high places. For verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make no molten gods. You're going to intermarry, you're going to connect, you're going to build a relationship. Has nothing to do with racial issues. We're not talking about the people group. We're not talking about the connection where it is racially. We're talking about ideology. We're talking about faith. We're talking about worship. You're going to love, you're going to begin to worship those other gods. Your kids get polluted with it. Then their kids get polluted with it. Let's move that fast forward. When our family and when our country, when I think about my family, the Kings, I got to, by the grace of God, we want to do our very best. Gloria and I said, we want BJ, Philip, and Seth, we want that generation to know there's only one God, and we want our grandkids to know there's only one God. And yet we find families, and yet we find pastors' kids, teachers, educators, politicians, people of prominence, people of means, your children. When you have means, you got resources, and you worship another God, that infects them as well. Again, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, which is one right where we find the Ten Commandments, God says, thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. But the question, Pastor, the question is, God's jealous? I don't know if you guys know this lady. She has a little money. Her name is Oprah Winfrey. Never heard of her, yeah. Who is Oprah? Well, she struggled with this passage, you know. She took this passage too far and began to discredit God because God was jealous. So she began to invent her own God, and she is still, with all due respect, inventing and presenting a God that's not consistent with the scriptures today. question is, why is God a jealous God? That word jealous in Hebrew is only of God. We're going to speak about a specific dynamic about God that is strictly reserved to him. And I'm going to make a difference, help you make the distinction between sinful jealousy and righteous jealousy. To let you know that all jealousy is not sin, especially one that comes from God. So the answer is important. In order to understand, well, what did God mean in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, that he is a jealous God? And what did God mean in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14? What did he mean when he said, thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord thy God, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God? Pastor, can you help us out with that? The question is the utilization. How do you use the word jealous? What is the context of that word jealous? How is it being employed in the text? How is it being used? We use the word jealous, or we use jealousy one way. God has a different way. The answer, it goes back, it's different than how we use the word. We're not, God is not saying he's sinful, like the kind of sinful jealousy that we find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Write that down for homework. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. No, when God says he's envious, or when God used the word, it's not that God is jealous because we have something that he needs. Rather, God is jealous when someone, or when we give things that supposed to belong to him, what belongs to God. The issue is that what rightly belongs to God, he's jealous over that with a godly jealousy. When you give something, you give someone or something worship, something of someone significance, something of someone authority, God says his authority and his righteousness, his glory is for him. So I am not to practice worshiping something else, loving something else, giving something more attention than God, because those things belong to God. Let me explain. The people in the context was bowing down and making idols, worshiping those idols, serving those idols, allowing those idols to be the biggest influence in their life. Who enjoys the influence? Who has the right to have the influence in your life? Who has the authority to be the authority in your life, the right to have the authority in your life? God's worship, our devotion, our worship, our attention, God rightfully owns that. Did you guys know that? That belongs to God. My devotion, yes, I'm devoted to my wife. I'm devoted to my children. I'm dedicated even to the call of Jesus Christ as a pastor. But that should not eclipse, that should not undermine the devotion and the commitment I have to Almighty God. Everybody tracking with me? Those idols receiving worship that belong to God. See, it is a sin when we desire or we're envious of somebody's talents, somebody's things, or somebody's stuff, something that we want. That's sinful jealousy. Because somebody got something that you don't have. Boy, look at his instincts. And boy, he's a moving shaker on the job. He's brilliant. He's bright. He's intelligent. He's the CEO of the company. He's a doctor. He's a lawyer. He's prominent. He got skills. And you sit there, I want his paycheck. I want his salary. I want his stuff. I want his cars. I want his clothes. And some of us, I want his wife. That's sin. But the word, when we use it in the context of God, God says he is jealous because when things, your attitude and your worship belongs to me, service belongs to me alone. So let me illustrate it to you this way for application. Praise God, I've been married to this incredible lady. We just celebrated her birthday for 26 years. That's my Gloria. Let's say, for example, somebody don't be a knucklehead and begin to flirt with Gloria. First of all, that's not his right. He doesn't have a right to flirt with my wife. Not that I have to worry about it, because Glory probably gave him a black eye. But anyway. If you are flirting with my wife, that right belongs to me. God says, so I would have a right to be jealous because her rights, her emotions, her position, everything she is not his right, it's my right. Are you tracking with me? Because if you're going to flirt with Gloria, then like they say, you cruising for a bruising. And as one guy said, it's time to knock on wood. His head. See, jealousy is a sin when it desires something that does not belong to you. God says, I'm jealous because I am the only God. I'm the only one you should worship. I'm the only one you should desire. I'm the only one you should serve. I'm the only one that you should elevate. I should have zero competition in your life. That includes moms and dads and children and jobs, etc. Paul the Apostle spelled it out this way when he talks about precisely the point about having that righteous jealousy. Write the homework down for homework. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 and 1. When God says, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. So, in order to protect ourselves from an idolatrous practice, I want to give you 5 action points to think about. So, in order to protect yourself from idolatry, I want you to ponder on what I call the who or the what 5 action points. The who or the what. This is how you protect yourself. Or this is how you can process and say, am I in idolatry? You see, you know there's symptoms of idolatry going on. You're putting yourself in a position where you're offering things that don't belong to something else but belong to God. What belongs to God? 5 areas. How you think, what you think, what you trust, what you do with your time, and what you talk about.
We thank you for joining us today, but unfortunately, we are out of time for today's program. So we will need to break at this point in Pastor Bernard's message, There is no God like me, God. In today's program, Pastor Bernard discussed how worldly mindset represents divided worship. This is an indication of idolatry. When we offer our devotion to anything other than God, we are worshiping an idol. God deserves wholehearted worship from his people. As the Apostle Paul mentions in Romans 12, verse 1, offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, is a reasonable service. God is not asking us to give him anything that is not already rightfully his. When we continue this message in our next program, Pastor Bernard will provide practical ways to evaluate if we are engaged in idolatry. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org. Or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.